Good day, everyone, and welcome back to the Not Safe for Work Photography Podcast. There are thousands of models and photographers creating adult content using modern platforms and taking control of their own creative lives. Today, we're finishing our interview with Ziva Fay. We started this back in May, but we ran out of time. Ziva is a Phoenix-based traveling nude model modeling since 2012 as a live nude art model. She currently makes her living as a content creator. How are you doing today, Ziva?
I'm doing well. How are you today?
There were two fetishes you mentioned in the last podcast I had questions about. Transformation. What is a transformation fetish?
It's fun. Transformation, in my experience, is where you start off as the way you look, a person, and then you start transforming into not the way you look and possibly not a person anymore. So, like, in my experience, it's been into, like, these the Animorph kind of books. Like, and it literally looks like that. Like, you have a person at the beginning of the video, and then, like, you just, it's kind of funny because instead of doing all of the SFX work in a chair for several hours at once, you start adding like one SFX prop on like at a time and then keep filming and filming and filming until you are all of a sudden a donkey creature. Right. Or all of a sudden you're a demon fairy or, you know, just like and typically in the transformation, like, things are changing. So, like, you drank a potion, you took a pill, a spell happened to you, right? It's gonna make sense. And in the video, you'll be like, what? What? And like it'll do a close-up of your hands, and all of a sudden you'll...
Okay, one I didn't so you wear. Do notice. It's not like it's just happening and nobody notices.
No, the whole point of the video is... Exactly, like super super common one is werewolf transformation. You know, I think that was the first one I did. You know, all of a sudden, like, oh, I got a really bad headache, and like, what the fuck's going on? Like, oh, I guess that grape juice my roommate had must have been bad or something. Like, maybe I just have food poisoning, and then all of a sudden I open my eyes and I have like, you know, we cut. You know, I'm closing my eyes and I'm like, my head hurts. Ugh. And then so. We put in the contacts, and then when we, you know, uncut and on camera again, all of a sudden something's transformed, and it's looks cohesive on camera because I closed my eyes because my head hurts so bad, right? Then mm-hmm. I open them and I have like werewolf cat eyes, you know. So yeah, the whole video is about the transformation, about the changing. Yeah, it's fun, really fun.
Imagine that takes a lot more prep and a lot more. I assume you have to have a makeup artist as well on hand.
Yeah, typically you have to have high makeup skills, makeup artist. Yeah, lots of, I wouldn't even call it pre-prep. I would call it like, it's weird. It's like during prep. Because like I said, instead of doing the SFX all at once where you're, you know, cute girl, you sit in the chair and 4 hours later you're a werewolf. You have, let's say you get hired for a 2-hour shoot. But they're going to actually hire you for 8 hours because, or 6 hours or whatever. Because if it's 4 hours of makeup, let's say it's 2 hours of shooting and 4 hours of makeup, right? Mm-hmm. So if they're going to get to hire you for 2 hours, get their half an hour video or whatever, they're going to hire you for six, 7 hours so they can get that. Okay, now you need to put the contacts in. Okay, cut. Oh, yeah. Now you need to put the hair, the fur on the chest and on the wrists and yeah,
that's like the opposite of what you're talking about, where you could bring somebody in for a couple hours and get several videos. This is you bring multiple people in and you get one video for 4 hours.
In several hours, exactly. So yeah, transformation is really encompassed. You have to, you know, choose what's most intelligent for your fetish store, and what quality of work you want. I do really, I want to say, awesome transformation that do have a makeup artist and stuff like that. I was going to say, I'm sure you can do your own little video, you know, in your in your closet, in your bathroom, like putting on your own Party City makeup.
Do you typically charge more for transformation videos since they require more work?
No, well, no, but I charge for my time, so you're paying me for the makeup.
Oh, there. Okay, I see. Yeah.
Yeah.
The other one was inflation. What is inflation?
That one's super fun. It's in the world of transformation because you are transforming. You start off as, you know, the way you look, and then you wear some sort of fat suit. So you're, again, you get a magic spell, magic potion, you know, whatever, take a pill you got on the magical black market, all these fun scenarios. And then you'll start off normal, and then the whole fetish is about showing the transformation. So, like, the fat suits that I've worn actually inflate. So, like, I start off as me, and then I put the fat suit on, and I put it over my, like, usually we use really baggy clothes, so it just looks like I'm a girl who wears baggy clothes, like Billie Eilish it. Mm. And then lady that I work for, her inflation gear can inflate with water or air, depending on, like, the look that she wants. The one that she has that inflates with water gets, like, really
heavy
looking, and, like, it gets more rolls and stuff like that. And, like, the obviously, and it sags, like, the front and back, like, sag. It looks much more human. And then the one that inflates with air looks more like silly cartoony, and you blow up like literally like a giant balloon, like a ball, like a bowling ball. Hmm. Yeah, and the whole video is me like, oh my gosh, I'm blowing up, I'm getting bigger, I'm bigger. And they like it because, like I said at the beginning of the podcast, this is an industry of extremes.
Mm-hmm.
So people love that I am 5 foot, 105-pound girl, and then all of a sudden I end up very, very large and in a big suit and not able to, like, fit through the door.
Yeah. Huh. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. As if I like it. It's fun. It's very, it's hokey. I call it sitcom or soap opera acting. There's lots of fun, silly faces. And
imagine. Yeah. I followed someone on Reddit a while ago that did stuffing. So it's kind of like vor, but it's more about almost like mukbang, but they
like feeder stuff.
Yeah, like feeder stuff, but it was specific around eating foods that expanded in your belly. Like it was specifically like making your belly expand as much as possible.
Like making your belly bloat.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
So like carbonated beverages and belching and starches and breads and stuff.
So interesting. Good for them. Yeah. Make your money. Yeah.
I haven't seen her around recently. I don't know if she's quit or... I don't know if that's a sustainable one, though. Simply just on the calories. Like, if you're doing that every day, that could lead to trouble.
There are quite a few fetishes that are more risky in the long run for your health.
Yep, that's fair.
Yeah.
So, do you do any fetish or nude work in public?
Yeah, I do a lot of gorilla. I call it gorilla nudes, and I spell it gorilla like gorilla warfare.
You're not hairy enough for the other kind of gorilla.
Did laser hair removal. Yeah, I do a lot of nudes in nature. So I do a lot of shooting on BLM or national park land, and some of it's technically allowed, some of it's not. I really like shooting nude in nature. That's just something I love. It's really fun. It gets me back to my roots with the world. It's just fun to be naked outside.
That's fair.
Yeah, but I like the gorilla nudes, like wearing popping out your titties out of a shirt or flashing in a skirt. I mean, that's fun.
Yeah, I was actually curious. Is just doing nude work in public enough to trigger an exhibitionist voyeurist fetish, or do you need to do something additional? And obviously the difference between art, nude, and public fetish is pretty obvious. Posing and location are big. you know, for art nude, there's usually a pretty elaborate pose or, you know, laying against a tree or something like that. And location is usually nature for art nude versus civilization. But are there other differences?
Okay, well, I think that the implication to begin with is different because with artistic, there's, okay, so like, okay, the general baseline difference between posing, like what you said, posing against a tree in nature mm-hmm. and against a rock all posy beautifully versus like the gorilla nudes flashing and a trench coat and flashing a skirt is the intention, actually, the inherent intention. Mm-hmm. I think that they are different because the art nude nature has a non-sexual intention to begin with. I think that for me, when bodies are nude in nature, I don't sexualize them unless it's a clearly sexual picture, you know, or message. Mm-hmm. Whereas like a flash, like you are wearing clothes and you are clearly flashing the camera, you know, upskirt. Yeah. It has a sexual intention. So the urban, and so by nature, the urban setting, you have to do that, right? You can't go gallivanting nude.
Yeah, you occasionally see that, but it's pretty rare.
Right.
And pretty bold.
Sometimes they get, I know the laws are different, all the places, and then like sometimes you can just kind of get lucky. You were there with the right tourists and the right cops weren't there and blah, blah. Like, what is it? It's like, please don't quote me, y'all. Like New York or like Portland, something like that. But you would see it more if it truly, truly was allowed. You know what I mean? I don't know. Mm. So it's, to me, the underlying inherent intention of nudity versus like artistic nude versus glamour nude, which is like flashing is more glamour nude to me, right? Is that like urban, I guess, just has this, like a voyeuristic exhibitionism, like a intention behind it because you have to fucking wear clothes in civilization. Whereas like in nature against the tree, like it's a different non-sexualized scenario because you're not in society anymore around all the people who dictate you must wear clothes, if that makes sense.
You do bring up the kind of the middle ground, the glamour nude ground, where it is sexy but not sexualized. So like the classic trench coat thrown open, that was kind of the what I was thinking of when I composed the question, where that's mm-hmm. not really an art nude, but neither is it really fetishistic. Yeah.
Also, here's a big thing. If the model is looking, not even looking, if the model is engaging with the camera, and let's say maybe she's not looking at the camera if she's flashing, but she's engaging with the camera because she's flashing the camera, right? Mm-hmm. That's glamour. If you're not engaging with the camera, if you're looking away at the sun, watching the cloud, posing against the rock, just arching your back, basking in the sun, that's artistic because there's a disconnect between the camera, the subject, and the
viewer.
The camera. Yeah. Yeah. That might just be me. That might just be like, well, that's what she thinks. But.
All right. How do you avoid getting arrested if you're doing nude work in public? I assume the first rule is don't take off your clothes in front of a cop.
Okay, y'all. I have a secret. This is a Ziva Faye recipe. Take notes. I'm going to help everyone out right now. You're lucky. I'm going to tell you my secret. This literally, and then I know that you said tell a story. So my little secret caused me to not get arrested. The one time I did get almost detained for modeling.
Oh boy.
What I do is because I do so much nude in nature and bullshit like that, I keep a bodysuit, a leotard, a one piece, I don't know what y'all call them wherever you are. That's not lacy, it's not sheer, it's just like cotton, it's very like skin tone flush color. I mean it, and it's nude color, it's nude tone. So when I wear it,
if you throw it on,
I look naked still from like 50 feet away. But if you're standing in front of me, my nipples and my, I mean, I'm fucking clothed. I have a leotard on. So there's no nipples and no coochie. So that's honestly my secret. And so what I do is usually we take pictures of that at the beginning in the leotard, wherever we are, little set. And then, like, we're let's say we're on a hike, right? We're taking a model hike in up in the Red Rocks. And the cop comes, and they can do this. I don't know if y'all know this. They can be like, what the fuck were you doing? Blah, blah, blah. Let me see the back of your camera, see if you're lying or whatnot. So then you just, bro, so many people don't know how to, like, operate cameras because they have a lot of buttons, like they do. So you're just like, you're at the end. You've been taking pictures for 4 hours. You're at the end. You go, now you're at the beginning because, you know, it's a circle on a camera. The photos go in a circle. And you go, officer, I hear you. You're all respectful and you play the game. And you go, but I wasn't nude. Your eyes are mistaking you. you thought I was nude because you were 50, you were coming, but. And also, if you do see the cop coming up, maybe you got the time to put the leotard on. Here's my story with the leotard. I was in Ken's Lake, Moab, Washington, modeling. Took the pictures of the leotard. I was actually, like, I think I was either nude or in a very skimpy lingerie. And I was standing on top of, like, the edge of this cliff. And then everybody actually was, like, behind me, deeper into the cliff, and actually high in a few, like, higher-up locations. And there was a ranger coming up, and because we had ground upon him, I don't know if he could, well, maybe he saw me, or maybe he actually saw them in the in the back, like, peppered on the top of this mountain. And then I turned around, and I said, like, I shouted, I was like, Ranger, get fucking dressed, like something like that. Yeah, everybody's like scrambling to get their clothes on and shit, and I was like the first model on the front lines. Like, I had my leotard on, and I put the leotard on real quick, and like the photographer did all the talking, but honestly, the fact that I was wearing that nude leotard, he showed the back of the camera, and he's like, no, she wasn't naked, bro. Like, your eyes deceive you. Like, bro, stop being a pervert. Come on. Like, yeah. Yeah, he's like, and, I was like, wow. I was very like, shit, sit down, shut up, go in the car, don't, you know. But by the end, nothing, I didn't get a ticket or nothing. So we didn't get in trouble because we had that, I don't know. Well, probably because we were in good behavior and, like, we left and we were told. the nude-colored, skin-colored leotard, if you're going to model in nature and stuff like that, use that as a little cheat. Also, like, don't be a dumbass. Like, get a permit. Don't model, like, around little kids, like an RV with little kids or Karens. Like, you know, just be smart.
Yeah. One thing that who was I talking to? I don't remember who this was. Another big outdoor model. She uses a big coverall, like with a big zipper on front. Like, it's a big loose coverall so she can stay warm when it's cold, but also she can put it on very quickly.
Yeah. So what? Yeah. I'm from Arizona, y'all. So I wear me as a nude. I'm mostly, I consider myself an artistic nude traveling model. I do it all, but, like, my bread and butter is the nude in nature. I wear a muumuu all the time. That's the main thing I wear. So I look like an old lady, like, wearing, like, a little flowy dress. But it's because exact same thing. I can whip that thing on and off in probably actually less than a second at this point.
Like, that's hilarious.
Because it's just – it's a blanket with three holes in it. Think about it. It's a blanket with two armholes and a head hole. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. So yeah, wearing things. So it's also good for professionalism just in general. Like, if you are a new NEW model that wants to be a nude model, NUDE, and you're listening to this,
I recommend having flowy clothes, like how he said the other model, he wears a coverall that doesn't, like, leave lines on your body.
Yeah. So yeah. That's why she mentioned the coveralls, was so she didn't have to wear, like, a bra and other stuff like that.
Exactly. Because if you wear your yoga outfit, like, you look super cute, but then you take it off and you're getting paid, right? And it's not quite fair to the photographer that you have these, like, exactly those two, like, thick bra lines, like, under your boobs and your back and then, like, around your waist. So,
yeah, that was one of the first things. That was one of the first things as a new photographer, like, a year and a half ago into the nude genre, learned was that you start off, if you're doing, like, a progression set, you do it in reverse. You start nude and then put the clothes back on so that you don't get the lines.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And for me, that's a little, I've done those before, but it's just difficult for me to, like, fully reverse. So yeah,
I'm it's just weird. Like, it's like a mental,
it's kind of like this odd mental gymnastics because it's not natural. Yeah. You don't pretend you're stripping off clothes as you put them on. And for me, the hard part is pretending that you are taking them off as you're truly putting them on.
Or you put them on just, like, right immediately before taking them off so they don't have time to dig in. Yeah.
That's what I do. Is I put them on, like, the outfit pretty much immediately right before we're about to shoot. But in reality, to be honest with you, that means I'm wearing that gold chain bikini thing for only 10, 15 minutes. So before I took it off on the street. Exactly. That's what I do just because – so I try to work smarter, not harder. And sometimes things that don't make sense in my brain, I'm just like, Yeah.
All right. On the exhibitionism thing, have you done any content shoots in public in like Civilization? Do you have any tricks or tips on how to do that successfully without being publicly embarrassed or getting caught?
Go back to 2020 when it was COVID and COVID was fresh.
There was nobody around.
So, to be honest with you, I did capitalize on COVID. I was a student during COVID and I did quite a few of my – I have a few popular sets on OnlyFans and stuff that's like me with a butt plug on ASU campus, you know, gallivanting around and this and that.
Yeah.
I just was a cheater. I just went, it's COVID. You know what? There's no I'm gonna do this now. But today, because things are getting more back to normal, my biggest recommendation, because I have done it, not COVID too, is I call them a spotter, a buddy, a friend, somebody you trust. Yeah. Somebody you trust that has good vision and won't. And, right. Somebody you trust.
You forgot your glasses. You can't be my spotter today.
You can't. That has good vision and also has, like, a decent attention span. That they won't be on their phone not paying. You know what I mean? That they will be a spotter. Yeah. So they have to, like, and it's kind of a boring job. You just have to sit there and fucking watch the street for your friend. So I've done it before and I've had friends do it for me before. That's... And also, like, okay, so you have the spotter. So the spotter's watching basically 360 for all y'all, right? They're walking around. They're staying with you and the photographer. The photographer is looking out, you know, their field of vision, which is behind you. And then I'm looking out my field of vision, which is behind the photographer. So in theory, if I'm watching, you know, the north side and they're watching the south side, the spotter should be focusing on the east and west side of, you know, our flanks as we're shooting. So that's and my other big piece of advice is to keep moving. Keep moving. Do not stay in the same place for even like if you're gonna do exhibitionism in public, in the city, wherever, keep moving. Mm-hmm. You're gonna get a little naked. Don't stay in one spot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shoot and scoot. Shoot and scoot.
Shoot and scoot. I have not heard that. I like that. And then if you see, like, cars around your car that – number one, if you see cop cars around your car, don't go back to your car. Go get lunch. Yeah. Have your friend take you home. Go back to your car later. If you see also other weird cars that maybe could be undercover cars, don't go back to your car. Yeah. Which honestly, I have had that happen to me a few times where I've been shooting. We didn't get in trouble, but they damn well knew that the hot bitch that is nude around came out of this little car. And they're like, I'm like, damn it. Now I have to, we have to go do something for 2 hours. I have to go get food. I can't come. Yeah.
So they get bored. Someone else, someone calls them out.
Yeah, no, exactly. And then they're like, they'll wait. They'll only wait so long. Exactly. And then they get a call or they get bored or. Yeah. So those are my spotter and just keep moving. Just being intelligent. Cameras. Look for. Don't shoot somewhere. Exhibition stuff. If you see a camera and it's facing you and there's a little red light beeping, blinking above it, maybe don't whip your tits out right there. Maybe don't. Those are probably the three biggest pieces of advice.
Three solid pieces of advice.
Yeah.
All right. The next one is not really about the fetish, but there's something I've noticed. The damsel in distress genre. I've noticed that of all the fetishes, this one tends to trend super amateur. For example, shibari tends to be super artsy, but damsel in distress is almost the complete opposite, even though it also involves rope. That almost makes sense in a way, you know, as an actual kidnapper would not be taking artsy photos of his video or artsy photos of his victim. Mm-hmm. Are there other fetishes where artsy photographs are the opposite of what the consumer would actually want?
You know what? Yeah. And I've had this conversation. I was having this conversation with Lars like a month or two ago about like, so I have a little bit of a problem where like I, not that I don't feel comfortable, but also like I try to brand myself very professionally. So I don't particularly have a lot of cell phone content out there or more amateur content.
Yeah.
But there are certain fetish niches that do like more amateur content. And to be honest with you, one of them that I've been actually kicking myself a little bit because I do so much of it. Is wedgies. Wedgies actually likes amateur content. BDSM and kidnap, it makes sense because if you were going to kidnap somebody, you would just take pictures with your cell phone. You wouldn't be a nice big photographer and have lights and, you know, and then kind of the same thing with like wedgies. If you're getting wedgied or wedgying somebody else, you're just going to use your cell phone and be like, hey, fuck you, I'm bullying, you know, take a picture of them. Think about the fetishes that are more, I don't even know if I should say organic, that are more common and natural in the everyday societal life that happen by bullying or unfortunate circumstance. Those are typically the more amateur things where, like, the inflation and the transformation, I have never really seen that be amateur cell phone content because like the nature of it, you have to have the makeup artist, so there's like a level of professionalism there that brings it to a different level, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that was definitely a topic that came up with Gerald, where he was talking about he shoots all this content with a Canon that's about 7 or 9 years old, and he thinks that his cell phone is actually a better camera. Although the ratio is a little, you know, the lens is different and the, you know, it's a wider view. So he doesn't use it for everything. But yeah, he was saying that everything that he shoots could just be done with the cell phone at this point.
Well, and he does AmPro. So like the clients that he's cultivated are guys who, people who, they like that. They like the, I'm just a dude who's having sex with girls in my bedroom and I'm just taking pictures while it's happening or whipping my phone out. It is a different sense for them to buy, let's use Gerald for example, his content rather than cherry pimps, where high key lighting, big strapping, big name guy whose dick is everywhere, and you've seen pictures of it, memes of them, you know. It's just a different feel, and there's a different form of like intimacy or like I can accomplish that. Like I could.
Yeah.
That achievable. Could be me.
Achievable women.
Yeah, exactly. And I guess also like, you know, a lot of people put themselves in a vicarious situation when they watch porn.
Mm-hmm.
So it might be easier to live out a vicarious fantasy in your head or whatever, or while watching a more amateur cell phone porn rather than watching, you know, Big Dick McGee who has a million followers.
Yeah. Gerald and I talked about this extensively. I'm kind of in agreement with him personally. I find the high key, super polished stuff doesn't like, it's not, it's too fantasy based. It doesn't look realistic. It's not.
See, and that's interesting to hear from a male standpoint, because I do more of the high key, like big stuff. And
my wife likes it better. My wife likes it better than the amateur stuff. So it's interesting. My wife prefers the more professional stuff, and I prefer the more amateur stuff.
You know what? What I've noticed is that that's a big thing between women and men, because I prefer more professional stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The more amateur stuff doesn't do it for me, but I quite haven't figured out the separation or preference or whatever it is, but yeah, there is, I've noticed that trend. I also don't have a lot of women consumers.
That's fair. did you want to finish your thought? You said something about talking with Lars.
Oh, that about, so she's like, you need to do more cell phone content, you know? Mm. And I'm like, but I'm branded with this professional. I don't want to taint my brand and make people think I'm less professional. And she's like, no, but you're kind of shooting yourself in the foot by just not having certain content that appeals to certain people. And it's actually kind of a gratifying and validating to have, not to be like, oh, I'm fucking up still, but I'm like, yeah, no, maybe I should do more cell phone content. Yeah.
That's actually, yeah, that's interesting, because that actually leads to the next question, which is, do you have a method for figuring out which items sell best, or is it basically make it, post it, see if it sells?
Okay, so when I first started, it was the latter. Make it, post it, see if it sells. Didn't work for me so well. Like I said, earlier in the podcast, that I was making videos without understanding the true psychology of them. So now what I do is where I am at in my career is I typically actually don't engage in a new fetish unless a model friend or trusted producer is either hiring me for it, and it's well within my level of comfortability, or a model that I have a good relationship with does it and is well versed in it and can answer questions and or show me the basic ropes and basic clientele space for a certain fetish. Right. So, like, for example, actually, I did not do any Wham, Wet and Messy, really at all. I did like 4 of them over like a 5-year period with a producer who paid me until I met Lars. And I didn't understand the psychology of it. I was just like, so people just like putting food on their bodies? Like, and then so talking to her, she answered questions, showed me certain spaces on the internet, talked to me about why she has, like, the people have the fetish and stuff like that. And then I'm like, also having a model friend to do the fetish with if it's my first time, helps me crack the glass ceiling of the fan base, because it's kind of hard to just do a fetish video or whatever, and you've never, sometimes you just gotta get lucky and like you've never done it before, and maybe your video just goes to the top of Clips for Sale and you just got really lucky. But honestly, most of the time, if you don't do the fetish and like you've never done wedgies before, people don't know to come to your account for wedgies. So niching yourself is usually a really great thing, and you'll make great money in a small clientele space. You can be a big fish in a small pond, but you're also only doing one niche thing. So like for me, kind of reiterating what I said earlier, is I have a handful of fetishes that I do and I stick to that I know sell well, I know sell for me, and then I will, at this point in my career, I will try something new if I'm hired for it. Sometimes, because, like, to be honest with you, how I started wedgies is I was hired for it. And the video got so many likes. Like, I mean, it got so many likes in a one-day period that I, more likes than I usually ever get, that I was just like, yeah. So I noticed there was definitely an immediate gratification, in a sense, not monetarily, but something I could quantify.
Yeah.
Likes. Mm-hmm. And that literally just made me be like, all right, there's something here. A producer paid me for wedgies. Now it's going, like, I've got the most likes I've seen. So there's something here. Let me try it. Tried it. First couple videos were, I mean, they're still pretty good. They're not bad. But now I know, like, so wedgies are kind of in the umbrella of BDSM. Because it's like, you know, there's humiliation and there's like kind of non-consent to it. And, you know, you're being strained and put in it's like a straining, you know, wedgies can be kind of they're bondage-y because you're being hoisted.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I experimented different things after I quantifiably knew that there was something there. And then I'm like, okay, so for me, the ripping of the wedgie sells really well. And then, like, okay, wedgie brawls, if there's the more women on screen going crazy, the more it sells for me. I just started trying to do hanging wedgies, which is, like, you're off the ground, your feet are off the ground. Fun, different fun things to experiment. Yeah. Yeah. So that is how I try new fetishes now.
That's fair.
Yeah.
What's the ideal length of a clip? 5 minutes? 10? 15?
Yeah, in between 10 and 15 is what I
do. Interesting.
I've talked to some people that are like, oh, as long as it's over 5, but I haven't, like, okay, well, I have a few videos that are more short, and they do sell pretty okay, but it's because I've also priced them at a lower price point because of their length. And I try to correlate ratio my price points fairly more even, right? But I've just found for me kind of like that 12 minute mark in between 10 and 15 is a good kind of sweet spot, because also if you think about it, they're buying a 10 minute custom or whatever, the first minute is the intro when you're talking and you're setting up the why are these two girls in this bedroom together holding hot dogs? Setting up the scene. And then usually you think the last minute is
like the junior met.
Whatever happened. Yeah. The orgasm happened. The girl got tickled. And now, you know, now you're being like, oh, thanks so much. Have a good one. You're wrapping it up. So 12 minutes for me gives 10 minutes of content. And that,
interesting.
Yeah.
So is there, in like a wedgie video, is there 10 minutes of wedgies?
Yeah, yeah.
It's a lot of wedgies.
It's a lot of And I get all different camera angles, and like, to be honest with you, that's why my wedgie brawl videos are like 20 minutes, because there's like 6 butts on camera
getting all the close angles and far angles and lots of wedgies.
Are you using a multi-camera setup and then compiling them together afterwards? Or are you like resetting the camera for a different view and then redoing the wedgie again?
So you can't really redo a wedgie because
you could do a similar one.
No, I just record. No. I just get a videographer and he's just walking around the whole time and he's panning angles in and out. That's what I do for my content days because I do a wedgie video for every content day. So I have one camera angle, one videographer, and he's manning it. And usually it's just one cut, one 20 minute long go through, cuts. At this point he knows the angles. He knows I need you to get here, right, kind of in between the butt, looking up. I need you to get on the side of the butt, this angle. And he's just panning around, getting in and out, close-ups and full-frame shots the whole video. And then there's another videographer that I work with a lot that has a tripod set up, and they'll record everything on a tripod setup. And then they'll do handheld camera work, but they are not as dynamic with their angles. So that person I will switch off on the videos with two different camera lenses. But that's just because that cameraman is older, and so they're not as quick getting the shots in and out with the angles and all that. And that's totally cool. So I work with what the capabilities are.
That's fair.
Yeah. Huh.
What about for some of the other ones, like tickling? Does it, like, again, a full 10 minutes of tickling?
Mm-hmm. And God, so, that like,
seems so long. It sucks.
It sucks. So, like, for example, I, when I hired the girls yesterday, actually, and I did the 8 videos, so what I needed to do was the producer needed me to get Hitachi cum videos, tickling, and foot worship. So I did 3 foot worship, 3 Hitachi O's, and 2 tickling. So honestly, I saved the 2 tickling videos for the very last. And I let the models know, you know, the tickling is the worst. The tickling is the hardest part of the whole shoot. That's why it's the last thing. It's going to make you the most sweaty and tired. It's going to suck. Like, I worked with all different producers. Sometimes it's like, because like you start building up and you're laughing, and then now you're screaming. And you need to breathe. So not that you need to, sometimes they cut, but you need to like give that person a minute to catch their breath. Not just, so like you are tickling for 10 minutes straight, but your fingers aren't on them for 10 minutes straight, because that is torture. You have to be a good dom. Like when you become a dom, like, let's say, like, you guys are probably all thinking of a dom in a BDSM sense. But they're, you know, you got to be a dom for when you tickle, too. You got to read that person's body and be like, they need to breathe. We've all seen a person getting tickled so much that they're like, you know, and can't breathe. And just be a respectful performer. It is so tiring. It is much easier to find a model who is ticklish and they're not faking laughing for 10 minutes, because that also sucks, faking laughing for 10 minutes. But my disclaimer, and I'm aware, is if you do find a ticklish model, that fucking sucks. They're being tickled for 10. That sucks. That sucks. Like, yeah. Most people don't like being tickled.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I actually, like, as a funny comment, sometimes I think of tickling almost as, like, the same thing as, like, gay for pay. Like, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. But I'll do it for the money. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, do you work with male models at all?
So, yes, I do. I work with male models. I am currently not looking for any new male models to work with.
So don't bug you about it. Got it.
Don't bug me about it. You,
So I work with male producers, but who are also their own male model all the time, because that's a paying producer. That's, you know, pay me. That's different. But I do work with male models, Christian Castillo and Lucas Jett, both on Twitter. They're the two male models that I work with the most. Lucas Jett is the big black guy. Probably some of you listening to this think that we're married because I've done like two wedding photo shoots with him, and we have pictures of us like cutting a cake and at the altar. And we're not married. Aww. We're just friends. Yeah, we're just friends. I travel with him pretty often. We do a lot of wrestling, and we've been working in a lot of like high glamour fashion photo shoots. Like, we've quote unquote gotten married twice, but for photo shoots. I work with him a lot. He's very respectful. It makes me feel safe. I have an odd, which I think you guys, once you hear me, you'd be like, that makes sense. That if a male model has animals or children, they're typically a safer human than not. Their intentions and their general understanding and perspective of, like, just femininity and womanhood and what it's like to be a girl is different, and different expectations of just being human, and usually more respectful and chivalrous and stuff like that. And then I work with Christian Castillo a lot. He's really awesome. I travel with him often as well. I travel with both of them to California quite often. Every other year, every couple months or whatever, and do a lot of wrestling with them, because it's hard to find males that I'm comfortable with that don't want to solicit anything after or say some weird stuff. And also, like, I know if they're wrestling me and we are in an intimate space and we're touching each other, I trust them, and I've worked with them a lot, that they're not going to pull any shit while we're grappling. You know,
that's what I've heard about some male models. Not necessarily about the wrestling thing, but they tend to be very male.
Just pulling some shit while you're in an intimate space. Yeah. So, yeah, I do work with male models. I am not to be like, I'm super. You gotta be like, but, you know, I'm cautious, and you have to be verified. You have to. I get so many inquiries saying, I'd love to model with you if you need a male model. And then I say, awesome. Where are you verified? Where can I find your work? And there are no works of them. Or they're like, I'd love to be your male model. But they refuse to sign a model release and give me ID. And I'm just like, well, I can't. You're just trying to fuck me, actually, is what it's. So. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, we've got a couple more left, and we've got about 13 minutes left.
Yay, we're doing great today. I know, at first I was reading it, and I was like, oh man, we're not going to get all this done. But then I remembered we kind of last minute switched it from 1 to 2. So I was like, oh, perfect.
Yeah. So with all the social media censoring, darn near everything, how do you share your work with the people that want to purchase your content?
You honestly gotta post censored work. You gotta figure out how to engage with your followers right now. Okay, so my piece of advice to any W new models, even producers and that, is like, you know, you guys keep hearing me say, think work smarter, not harder. Monetize yourself off the things that you already are good at, can do about you. Take the things that make you unique and an interesting person that set you aside from the rest of the crowd, and focus on that kind of stuff, and engage with your followers, the people who are being respectful and are commenting or whatever. A lot of people will engage in money once you give them just a little bit, little bite. So I'm censored. It sucks. Like, I like Twitter. Twitter's awesome right now. It's probably the only place that Twitter and FetLife are probably the only place that I give you all free nudes. You're welcome. It sucks. Tumblr's dead. I know it still exists, but doesn't exist like it used to.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to get on Reddit. I don't know much about Reddit, but I do know you can post nudity on forums and spaces there.
Yeah, there's a bunch of subreddits that are interesting where you can post various things. Although Reddit's really weird about self-promotion.
Oh, I posted
the podcast there and they ended up deleting the subreddit I created for the podcast. I guess the problem was that I created it for myself instead of somebody else creating it for me. I don't know exactly what the problem was. They just deleted it and didn't tell me why.
Wow. I actually just had a meeting with a photographer about it, and he was like, they hate self-promotion. They hate it. They just want you to – they want to treat it like the after-hour lounge, internet lounge. And I don't know Reddit. Don't ask me any advice on that. I haven't cracked the glass ceiling. I also have nude work on my own website. I have zivafay.com. That's my personal portfolio if everything fucking gets deleted tomorrow. Everything. If everything gets deleted tomorrow, there is a place with nudity and pictures of me or whatever where you can see that I model and are professional. Zivafay.com. Mm. I also have zivafayxxx.com. I'm currently working on building that right now. That's my own kind of like OnlyFans. It's my own version of like OnlyFans where you can buy my content and stuff.
Interesting.
So in theory, my thought process is if I was to get deleted off of everything tomorrow, like let's pretend I got nuked,
mm-hmm.
then I would have those spaces. So that's my underlying kind of like big project to be able to put a place with non-censored, you know, nudity and all that, because I own those spaces. But to be honest with you, it's really hard to navigate. My best piece of advice as a model is like, put your content everywhere, do what you can to censor the shit. Don't piss off the Zuck internet gods. Don't test them too much. Yeah. And do what you can to get your stuff out there. Collaborating is good. Taking photos with other models and having them showcased just on their profile is also really good for cross-promoting, cross-marketing.
All right. While we were discussing this podcast, you mentioned you do monthly content events. What are those?
Okay, so I am what I call a modelographer. It's a cute little term I made up where not only can you hire me for photo and video shoots, but I also hire other models and do content creating of myself where, you know, I hold the video or write the production script or whatever. And I run these monthly events where I get all of the paperwork done for the girls. I do all of the model releases and IDs. I come up with all of the scripts, and I invest in all of the props and snacks. I get snacks. And then I invite girls. Usually it starts at 1 p.m., like 1 to 8 p.m. typically. And I theme them. So, like, I did a Christmas theme. All of you guys might have seen some of my Christmas content that came out with a bunch of girls. That was on my content days, Christmas theme. I did a dominatrix theme day one where we beat up some guys. My next themed one is actually going to be clown face and balloons.
Hmm.
So like I theme my content days off of content. So like the first one I ever did was yoga and wedgies. That was the theme.
I mean, why not?
Yeah, we all wore yoga outfits and did yoga and wedgie content. Valentine's Day was all hearts, but it was mostly feet content, like pedicures and stuff like that, and telling people to lick our feet, blah, blah, blah. I do a video at the beginning of my content days that's easy for all of the girls, so we can get into that acting groove, and I call it a body tour. So you like the one that I have the most popular is the Christmas one, and it's titled 8 Beautiful Belly Buttons, and we're all showing off our belly buttons.
Yeah, it's really fun. And so we all trade on those content days, and I put them in the Dropbox or whatever, however you need the content. We all share that content. We all worked hard on it. We all traded it, and we're all going to sell it to our clients in the ways we seem fit. So, like, if I sell my stuff on OnlyFans, but you sell your stuff on Loyal Fans, good for you. Have fun. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, they're really fun. They've gotten us really good content, and I've made a good amount of content that has made me money, and I know has made the other girls money. So they seem to be a good little thing going on so far.
So additionally, you mentioned you do model coaching. What's that about?
Okay, so I have a little sister that I got into modeling. You guys probably all know Muchi Faye. I have a cousin that is actually getting more into commercial modeling industry as well, Ayuko Faye. She's been camming for a while. She just hasn't been in the industry. And then before I even got my cousins and sister into the industry successfully, there were lots of girls that came up to me and said, how do you make money? How do you do this? And honestly, I have altruistic tendencies, and I have a hard time seeing people. I want everyone to eat at the table kind of thing. I have a hard time seeing people fail. And I like to give people the skill sets to help themselves. And I really have a teach a man a fish mentality, not give them a fish, is my Ziva philosophy, like the type of person I am. So when I started giving these girls information and skill sets and like introducing them to my photographers and my videographers and stuff, I just started giving my advice and telling them, you know, this is what I do. I disclaim. I say, I'm not telling you what to do or how to live your life, but I'm giving you the advice that I have followed to be successful. And so, or I say something along the lines of that. And so, yeah, I just have helped a lot of girls over the years start things they never have. I have gotten models into session girls and wrestling and sessioning when they never did it. They only did it a few times before years ago. I've taught girls how to travel model. They travel modeled with me, and I was like, this is how you email blast. This is how you, you know, talk to people and send that Instagram message. You know, all y'all who talk to Muchi, she's a smart girl, but I taught her how to talk to you guys and how to book those Skypes and stuff with her. And so my goal is just to teach girls, honestly, just the business side of model coaching, more so than even like posing and stuff. I'm really good at teaching you how to pose, but my mentality is, let me teach you the skill sets that you need to be able to, you know, keep afloat, keep swimming, eat at the table, you know, however, you want to view. Yeah.
Interesting. Is that something that if people were interested in doing, you'd want them to reach out to you?
Oh yeah. I'm actually currently working on a new tab in my portfolio for my model coaching, because the only thing I had for it was I had a Facebook page for it, but my Facebook just got zucked, or it got zucked like 2 months ago. So I had to make a new one. So now I have to like kind of revamp my model coaching, because the page that it existed on got deleted. Yeah, it's okay. But yes, I would love to help anyone who needs some guidance. I also tell people that if you're an established model, I give my Sex Panther referral code out if you want to start camming, texting, doing paid phone calls, and you're like, how do I do this? How do I work this site? I will give you a free 15-minute FaceTime, Zoom call, whatever, to try and give you a quick little lesson lowdown of how to use Sex Panther successfully.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right. I think we are just about out of time. So, Ziva, do you have any projects you want to plug?
Yes. I would love you guys to look at my new website, zivafayxxx.com. I just created it. It is my version of OnlyFans. OnlyFans is still up and running,
OnlyFans will still always be up and running. However, this website will, I'm focusing on it as it starts to get filled. I hope that you guys will consider joining there and supporting me directly. Please follow me on Twitter at ZivaFey and Instagram at ZivaFeyed. Yeah, and I'm always available for custom videos and pictures. And right now I am trying to push custom pictures and videos with my sister and cousin. Yeah. Booking awesome. ZivaFey at Gmail.
Good deal. So where can everyone find you online, just in case they've somehow never heard of you?
So, everyone, I'm ZivaFey. That's Z-I-V-A, last name, F-E-Y. Honestly, if you type in ZivaFey, you can find a lot of me. If you cannot find the handle, like, for example, at Twitter, Z-I-V-A-F-E-Y-E-D, or, sorry, that's my Instagram. My Instagram is Z-I-V-A-F-E-Y-E-D. My Twitter is Z-I-V-A-F-E-Y. If you don't find the account, that's Z-I-V-A-F-E-Y, throw on an E-D at the end. See if you can find me that way, because that means probably I've been deleted off of that website, and that's my second go-around account. Yeah, and you guys can always email me. I very much welcome emails with questions. And I will always send you guys my link if you want my link tree to find me. You can find all my links on Linktree at ZivaFey.
Yeah, there's been several models. I go back through my Instagram and look at the chats with various models who've been on the podcast, and there's a lot of them who've been deleted.
Mm-hmm. And it just says Instagram user. Yep. So that's why. So it's good. You guys might be like, oh, that's clever. If I've been deleted, so my first account that I try to do is Z-I-V-A-F-E-Y, like my name. Mm-hmm. But I throw on the E-D and I make it past tense if I've been deleted just because it's like my passive aggressive humor. So I'm like, oh, well, you killed me. So
I wondered about that. Well, thank you for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me back. It was really delightful, and I hope that you had a really good time in Vegas with the people I was able to introduce you to.
Yep, it was awesome, and thank you so much for that.
Yeah, no, right. Thank you. This was great, and I hope we can talk again in the future.
Well, if you ever come out to the East Coast, be sure and let me know.
Okie dokie, that sounds like a plan.
Well, DC area specifically, because I see you're coming out to Pennsylvania sometime soon.
Yeah.
Lancaster, yeah, which is like 3 hours away from me. That's a bit of a hike.
Yeah. If it was like an hour and a half, it'd be more doable. Yeah. But three is kind of one of those like.
It's a little bit of a stretch.
Right.
And with that, we are done. Check us out at the NSFWPhotographyPodcast.com. On Twitter is at NSFWPhotography. Instagram at the NSFWPhotographyPodcast. And subscribe on your favorite podcast app.